Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radhu Badhu Ba Kunya Vihadhu Ji Jaya Radhu Badhu Yasodhanandana Vrajadhananandjaguna Yasodhanandana Vrajadhananandjaguna Yasodhanandana Vrajadhananandjaguna Kunya Vihara Ode Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihara Ode Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihara Ode Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidagacharya also Tera Sri Shiva His Divine Grace Savaya Chandanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Marshall Prabhupada Gijaya Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gijaya Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gijaya Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vaita Karada Sri Vasavi Gaur Bhaktivananda Gijaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Govinda, Sayam Kun Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Gijaya, Vrindavan Gijaya, Tirudham Gijaya, Jagannatha Swami Gijaya, Yamunamaya Gijaya, Srimati Lassi Devi Gijaya, Sankreta Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya, Gaur Premananda Hari. All glory is the assembled of the devotees, all glory is the assembled of the devotees. All glory is the assembled of the devotees, all glory is to Sri Guru Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gijaya. So, we are in Sydney. So, those of you online are asking, where are we? We are in Sydney. And today we're going to, not to Brisbane, Gold Coast, and then the farm there. So, I guess you want me to read from this chapter.
It's up to you.
Well, you opened it up here, so I got it.
The map was there,
So, chapter 6 in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, beginning in chapter 6, Prahlad Maharaj instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Okay. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so I'm just going to read the Sanskrit once, the word by words once, because we have very limited time. So I'll just do it instead of responsibly this morning. Shiparadavacha Kumara Chirek Pyadyo Dangran Bhagavatam Niha Dulabam Manasham Chama Karatru Adruvam Martadam. So the translations. Shiparadavacha, you can repeat. Prahlad Maharaj said, Kumara,
in the tender age of childhood,
Acharet, should practice.
Should practice.
Pragya. One who is intelligent. Dharman. Occupational duties. Bhagavatam. Which are devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this life. Durlabham.
Very rarely obtained.
Manusham. Human. Janma.
Birth.
Tat.
That.
Api. Even.
Adruvam.
Impermanent. Temporary.
Arthadam.
Full of meaning. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life, one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. The whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, text 40, Svapamapyasya Dharmasya Triyate Mahatobayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children even in the womb on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually, throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species among the 8,400,000 forms of life. The Krishna conscious movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. As already stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavata Dharma consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasham, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. In all the schools, colleges, and universities, and at home, all children and youth should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita to put them into practice in their lives, and thus to become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Following Bhagavata Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. The Shastra says, Harinam, 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 Vaiva Kevalam, Kalao Nashteva, 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 Gatir Anita. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be completely cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. Sashi Paradavacha Komara Javet Pagyu Dharam Bhagavatam Niha Durlabham Manasham Janma Tana Tad Up Yatruva Arthadam So Omagana Tumdanda Shad Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshu Miditam Yenatas Mai Shi Gurveda Maha. So in this particular chapter, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his schoolmates as soon as the teacher leaves this room. He doesn't do it while the teacher's in the room because the teachers were Sandha and Marka, who would object to this whole thing and probably send him back to his father, which they ultimately did anyway. So, he's making an interesting point, and we find in today's society people take two extremes. One extreme is the human beings are the most important species and the only ones with a soul. That's one extreme. Actually, I've been reading about this recently. And therefore, we have the right to torture, to kill, to do anything else we want to the any other living entity. Now, there's another extreme, which is really interesting, that all species are equal in every respect, and human beings have no rights. So these are two extremes. Interestingly, I think it was the Netherlands, they actually passed a law of plants have rights. We're not objecting to that, but they're making everything equal. They're saying that, you know, we're just a combination of different cells and, you know, the DNA and RNA, and that, you know, there's no difference between us and the other species. And we're saying, of course, that we have the middle path. We're saying that we are different, yes. What is that difference? We have the ability to learn ethics, morality, control our senses. You know, that's a difference we have. And have an objective in life, a meaning of life. You know, if you take the objective the animals have or the plants have, it's just simply existence, you know. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, of course. I guess plants, they sleep all the time. So people say, well, that would be nice to be a tree and sleep all the time. So, and we have a specific ability. But that still doesn't negate at the point that different species have rights. Understand? But these rights don't override our rights. In other words, we have certain rights that give us the right to utilize other species for our particular purposes. Understand? It's not that I am impinging on a tomato's right or a broccoli's right to live by eating a broccoli. I mean, there's actually propaganda like that. I don't know if you heard about this before. You know, extreme, like, rights for animals, extreme rights for plants. So you don't... Actually, even in India sometimes, it's considered that you're not supposed to eat root crops because you're killing the... You understand? Mm-hmm. Actually, in certain places, in Jagannath Puri, they don't use root crops because you're actually killing that living entity. And that's one reason why carrots were not allowed, or potatoes. Potatoes are not actually indigenous to India. They actually came from somewhere else. So you find some very strict temples because they say that we don't want to kill. We'll just eat the fruit of particular trees without killing them. But what they fail to calculate is that when you eat the fruit from a particular tree, it has seeds in it, which are potentially, you know, which have life in them, which are not manifest, so you're killing them by digestion. And sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're performing the task of distributing them. Like the birds, you know, they eat the different fruit. And when they pass stool, it actually propagates that particular species all over the place. But just like yesterday we were talking about figs, that, I don't know if you know, that the inside of the figs is composed of digested worms. You can look that up on the internet. So if you take these things to an extreme, then all you can basically eat is, you know, or drink is water, you know. And maybe you have to worry about the microbes in the water, like the Jains do, you know, wearing the masks and everything like that. In the air, the microbes in the air and everything. So we have a right to utilize and even kill some living entities for our own benefit. If we are engaged in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we don't have that right. Actually, Krishna says in the Gita, the one who eats without offering first, he's verily eating sin. So even if someone's a vegetarian or a vegan or whatever, he's eating sin. Like Prabhupada would sometimes say that we should, shouldn't really just preach vegetarianism. We should preach Krishnarianism or whatever. Prabhupada didn't say that word, but we should preach offering to Krishna. Then we actually have the right to utilize other living entities' bodies, like, you know, broccoli body. It's a body, isn't it? Or a cabbage body. Sounds funny, but, you know, cabbage is a living entity. Cabbage can experience pain. A tree, Prabhupada quotes from Dr. Bose, who did some experiments with plants and showed that plants can experience pain. Like when you're going to cut them, there's sort of a response that they can measure that the plant is, oh my God, someone's coming to cut me. I don't know. There's no language there, but there's fear. But it's limited to how much ability do we have to exploit other living entities. We have to be really careful not to overdo it, not to exploit other living entities unnecessarily. And because everything you do in this world, you're actually jivasa, jivasa, jivanam, you're living by eating another living entity, and everything you do is you're coming in contact with other living entities and hurting them. I mean, you're breathing the air, you're walking on the grass sometimes, you're starting your car engine and cremating billions of living entities instantaneously. Think about it. It's a big responsibility to be a human being. Otherwise, you've got to suffer for those actions that you're taking. And so, Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out this responsibility that has to be taught from childhood, because if it's not taught from childhood, people they develop bad samskaras, you know, bad impressions, and then when they get older, they'll never be Krishna conscious. Like Prabhupada said, it's impossible or difficult. Oh my God. Nice music. It's impossible to teach a new dog, an old dog, new tricks. You know, so it's very, very difficult. So therefore, the training from the beginning, and what is the training? Bhagavad Dharma, that everything belongs to Krishna, everything is meant to be used for Krishna's service. And ultimately, as Prabhupada points out here in the purport, the chanting of the holy name, teaching people how to chant the holy name, because in Kali Yuga, people cannot really understand philosophy or too much of anything. But when they chant the holy name, then they can achieve all perfection. Kalera doshanad hey rajan ashiko mahatguna kirtanad eva krishna shab mukta sangha puram project. What's that?
Thank you.
What? Thank you. May you be blessed.
Thanks.
May you be an intellectual. May you do well in school. You're going now?
Yes.
Wow. So early. Anyway, that's good. You're both good devotees.
Thank you.
And they're going to use whatever talents your learning can be used in Krishna's service. You know, whether you're learning about sociology, whether you're a cadet, learning how to torture the people who work under you. Then you can become a temple president and torture the people under you. Anyway, so that's called Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means we have to use things in this world in Krishna's service. It's like I'm doing. I'm using whatever education I got, I use that in serving Krishna. You know, whether it's education in English or education in mathematics or education in psychology, I use that in Krishna's service. And that's actually important. There's a verse for Ancha Katya Budya Harisamanda Vashtana. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Interesting verse. And it states that if someone doesn't use something in Krishna's service, that's called false falgu vairagya, false renunciation. So, that's our business. Using everything in Krishna's service, but not using anything for our own sense gratification. Okay. Quick class, since you all have to leave. Any questions or comments? Short and sweet class. Neil Madhava, any questions? It's like he's a lawyer in Krishna's service. And we have nurses here. We have people work in the business fields, Krishna service. We have people electrify others. Make sure we have enough light. Anyway, so it all can be utilized in Krishna service. Yat karoshi, yad nashi, yad jahoshi, dadashi, yad yatapasrashi, kanti, yad tat kodishva, whatever. Whatever you do, whatever you offer, should be done for Krishna. And the most important, don't neglect the chanting. Chanting is the most important thing. Everything else is secondary to the chanting. So, any other questions? So? Is that right? Any questions? Yeah.
There's one question not related to this class, but yesterday's class when you were saying that Krishna is Aptakama and his Atmaram.
Yeah.
I have a Bhagavad Gita class that I give, and somebody asked me this question, that if Krishna is Atmaram, he is
self-satisfied, yeah.
Then why? What is the need for him to appear as Gauranga Mahaprabhu to come and experience the love?
Well, he's self-satisfied, but he wants to experience more. You know, just like here, you know, I'm self-satisfied.
Yes.
You know, I know I'm going to get a killer breakfast. Because I'm eating.
Yeah.
That's so satisfying. But anyway, so I know I'm going to get a killer breakfast. I know people are going to take care of me. You know, basically, I'm self-satisfied. I have Krishna, you know, everything like that. But does being self-satisfied mean that you don't want more? You want to do something else? I don't think so.
I mean,
self-satisfied is a neutral position.
Doesn't that mean that it's the peak of everything that Krishna is in? Then there's nothing after that?
No, there's nothing more than Krishna.
Of course.
But Krishna wants to enjoy. But what Krishna wants is relationships.
Yeah.
And the nature of his parts and parcels is that they have independence. They have free will. Mm-hmm. And Krishna wants to have relationships with all of his parts and parcels. And so you may ask, you know, why doesn't Krishna just force people to have a relationship with him? They would be like Ravan taking Sita. You know, then Krishna becomes like Ravana, taking Sita away and trying to force her to have a relationship. You know, it has to be voluntary. And so then the question arises, why doesn't Krishna just change our nature so we're...
That we love him.
You know, we love him and we don't have free will. You know?
Yes.
There was one devotee I know, a friend of mine, he would pray, please, Krishna, take away my free will. But then, first of all, we're part and parcel of Krishna. How could we not have free will? Because Krishna has free will.
Because we are qualitatively the
same. Yeah, we're qualitatively the same.
Yes.
So to take away our free will would mean to take away our identity. In other words, we wouldn't be us.
Yes.
You know, so it just doesn't make sense because love always has to be a voluntary endeavor. It can't be involuntary. You know, you put a gun to someone and said, you know, love me. It's like, that's rape. Mm-hmm. Krishna doesn't want to rape us. So, so that's what Krishna hankers for. He has everything. Yes, that's true. And he's self-satisfied. But he loves us too. Also, he's concerned with our welfare. His love of us is not just a selfish love that, you know, Krishna just says, hey, you got all those parts and parcels, all those other pretty girls, you know, that aren't. Or those potential coward boys, you know. I need more to be happy. It's not that Krishna, but Krishna loves. See, Krishna, when you talk about it, it's not a need. We want something because I have a need. We make relationships because we have a need. That's why. But Krishna doesn't have that need in relationship to us. He just is so, it's just pure love that he has for us, that he's so concerned with our welfare. And that's his mood. That he's so concerned with our welfare that he wants us. It's out of love. It's not out of need. See, that's the difference. When you talk about Aptakama, his desires are fulfilled immediately, or Admarama, he's self-satisfied in the self, you know, satisfied in the self, or taking pleasure in the self, to be more precise. But Krishna just loves. Oh, and just like if you're happy and you see someone suffering and you want to help relieve their suffering, you're still happy. It doesn't take away your happiness. Of course, it's a psychological fact. The more you help people, the more you feel good. I mean, we're actually wired that way to be altruistic. You know, some people don't understand that, but we're wired. So if you really, I mean, just like sometimes on an airplane, not sometimes, I'm often in an airplane, and then, you know, sometimes there's a lady there and I help her take her bag down from up there. I feel good about it. I mean, because someone could say, hey, that's a demon lady. And you're helping, who knows what's in that bag, and maybe hamburgers in that bag. Probably not. But hey, but the point is, you know, you feel good about helping someone. You know, you open the door for someone, especially an older person. You open the door, you help them. You know, it just gives you a good feeling, like with your cadets, isn't it? These little cadets, you know. It's like, anyway, like the army of little kids, you know. So, you know, you feel good when you're helping someone, someone progresses, or if you're a teacher, and someone learns something. Or if you're a guru and your disciple becomes Krishna conscious, you're already Krishna conscious, but, you know, if you're a disciple, it makes you happy. So that's our nature. And that nature is a reflection of Krishna's nature. That what makes Krishna even happier is to help us, you know, achieve our goal, not help us materially, to help us achieve our goal. So it's not a lacking in Krishna, like our desires. Okay, have a good time.
I'm still going to be here. I'm not leaving just yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Krishna came as Mahaprabhu's incarnation just to show us how to become a good devotee and say, go back home.
Yeah, but that was secondary. With Krishna comes at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he wants to really enjoy from the perspective of Radharani. And see Radharani, you know, understand and experience her love. And also experience the happiness that Radharani experiences. Because Radharani experiences more happiness than Krishna, which is interesting.
Does that mean Krishna is deficient in that
aspect? No, it's not deficient. It's not a deficiency. That's just a material conception.
Yeah.
Is that Krishna wants to understand. And, you know, he appears again and again as Mahaprabhu. So it's not that he doesn't understand. But he's voluntarily putting himself in that situation because if you're feeling completely self-satisfied, that's just a neutral position. It's a miserable condition.
Yeah. It's Shantaras.
Yeah, Shantaras. That's it. Krishna doesn't want to just like, oh, I'm self-satisfied. Oh, you know, Shantaras means, oh, there's no problems, you know, Brahma Jyoti Ki Jai, you know.
More like inaction.
Yeah. So to be happy, there has to be some forgetfulness of one's Atmaram position. Like if someone's, you know, if someone's like a Uttama Adhikari, that's pretty Atmaram. But they voluntarily come down and act as Majjhima Adhikaris in order to preach in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
I mean, Uttama Adhikari can just see that, sit there, and be absorbed in his pastimes internally with Krishna.
On the same point, in the verses we are discussing right now, it is said that Mother Yashoda is far more superior than Kunti Maharani because she does not know that Krishna is the Supreme
Person. That's right.
And Kunti Maharani does.
That's right. And that's the gopis are superior to the wives of Dwarka, superior to the Lakshmis.
Yes.
Because they don't know that Krishna is God. They love him. Just because they love him. And Krishna loves them. I mean, just like there's stories of princes, you know, I mean, an unmarried man. They want to find, I mean, famous stories. They want to find a wife, but they don't want someone to marry them just because they happen to be a prince or rich.
Yeah.
And so they dress up just like an ordinary person, go around, and then they find someone who loves them for who they are. So, Krishna appreciates when someone just loves him for who he is without that, you know, opulent aspect Aishwarya. Krishna very much appreciates Madhurya, the sweetness, much more. And also Audarya. Audarya means compassion. So that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes more compassionate because he's in the mood of Radharani. Because normally Krishna's not that compassionate. He is, but, you know, not that compassionate. He's not ready to just say, you know, Dina Hina Yata Chilo Hari Namu Dharila, just chant Hare Krishna. He's ready to say, just surrender, you know, give up all varieties of religiosity, you fool.
Declaring his supremacy.
Yeah, he declares his supremacy, you know, just think of me, become my devotee, worship me, everything will be all right if you do that, and just give up all this other garbage.
Yeah.
You know, Lord Chaitanya says, just chant Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, one does come to the point, automatically, of sarva-dharmam pratyajamam vikam shravanam praja. It happens automatically because it's rasa-varjam rasa, a higher taste, a higher ecstasy, love.
When does that happen?
When does it happen? It depends on you, not on me. It depends on how well you chant. It depends on how well you serve. Attentively, with the right desire. You know, like Prabhupada said, it can happen in a second, it can happen in a million years. Just that. All right. Other questions, comments? Get a quick class. A lot of people watching online. Wow, 19 people. Pretty good. Pretty good, because I didn't tell anyone I was going to be online now. Today we are going to the Gold Coast by Krishna's grace. We're going to be giving class tomorrow morning in the temple there in the Gold Coast.